We gather here to seek the truth, to grow in love, to join in service, to celebrate life's beauty and find healing for its pain, to honour our kinship with each other and with this earth, to create a more compassionate world, beginning with ourselves. To wonder at the mystery that gave us birth, to find courage for the journey's end, and to listen for the wisdom that guides us in the quietness of this moment. Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Essex Church and to this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians. Welcome to all who are new here today. Welcome to all who are here regularly. Welcome to occasional visitors. Welcome, everyone. And an especial welcome today to our podcast listeners, several of whom have been in touch recently. At some future time around our world, people will settle down and listen to this service as a podcast in Arundel, in Washington and India, Ireland and the Carolinas, both north and south, in Seattle and Poland, in York, Wakefield, Beverly and Sheffield, just some of the places where regular listeners are based. Not to mention the few congregation members who weren't able to be here today and possibly chose to stay in bed. I hope all of you feel part of this community, however sleepy you are, however many miles you are away, however you are feeling at this moment. And those of us who are here in physical form, well, we've all made different journeys to be here, by bus and foot, on a tube maybe, or a bicycle, in cars, on trains. And between us, we probably cover a wide range of human conditions, as well as modes of transport. Some of us may be sleepy still, some wide awake, some joyful, some troubled, annoyed, peaceful. My hope is that all of us in this next hour will find something that speaks to us personally in some way. May we be challenged or soothed, cheered or sobered, uplifted or taken deeper, and may our souls be nourished and enriched by spending this time together. And this candle, this simple chalice flame, connects us with all those of liberal persuasion the world over. May freedom reign. From the Sufi tradition, a story. It's called What Price a Kingdom? And it tells of Harun al-Rashid, a very powerful king indeed. In fact, at his time, he was said to be the most powerful king in the whole world, and his influence stretched over thousands of miles. One day, he was talking about his wealth and his power to a wise man called Aman. "I have so much power that I can make any man or woman do what I command. I have so much wealth that I can buy anything I like. I live in the most beautiful places. I eat my food from golden plates and I wear clothes spun from the finest silk. There is no man in the whole wide world who can compare with me," he boasted. Well, Aman listened carefully and then he asked the king a question. "If you were dying of thirst in the middle of a desert, what would you give for a cup of water?" And without hesitation, the king replied, "Well, I'd give half of my kingdom." "And if you drank the water so fast that your stomach was in danger of bursting, and what would you give for the pills which would cure your condition and keep you alive?" "Well, I would give the other half of my kingdom," declared the king. "Well, why then," said Aman, "Oh, great king, why do you boast about your fantastic wealth and your great power? if you would trade them both for a cup of water and a few pills. And that is the story of What Price a Kingdom. And I think our children's group are now heading downstairs to spend some time with Nadia to think about the things that money can't buy, which apparently I'm asking them to do about once a month at present, which shows it's clearly of importance to me, at least. And it leads us into a time of prayer and reflection. The World Parliament of Religions has been meeting this week in Utah, and this third Sunday in October is designated by Unitarians as an Interfaith Peace Sunday, where we are all encouraged to recognise and appreciate the many faith communities that form part of our society. So I'd particularly like to mention the faith groups that meet here in Essex Church. Our Jewish community of Beit Klal Yisrael, our Brazilian-Japanese group, Secho No Ye, the Eritrean Cultural Support Group, and our Sufi community, whose international leader, Grand Sheikh Taner Ansari, is speaking at this moment at our Richmond congregation's service. So with these groups, and the many more throughout our land in mind, let's join in a time of prayer and reflection. As I call on the one Spirit of life and love to be with us now. The one Spirit that manifests in so many different forms throughout our world. The one Spirit. The one light that shines through all that exists. Let there be light. Let there be understanding. Let there be compassion along all the paths that humanity creates and walks upon. The many paths, the multiple forms of expression for that something that is beyond us and yet within us. In a moment of shared stillness now, let us sense that one light shining within us and connecting us with all else that exists. Let's hold in mind a group or individual that we find it difficult to understand or feel compassionate towards. We might imagine the connection between us growing stronger and our ability to view reality from their perspective increasing. Let us pray for an increasing acceptance of difference and diversity in ourselves and in others. Let us work towards peace and understanding in ourselves, in our communities, and in our wider world. And may this be so for the greater good of all. Amen.
This is a small section from a letter, Rainer Maria Rilke, the German poet from around the turn of the 19th and 20th century, wrote. And I think it's understandable all by itself, because the basic message is about waiting for ourselves and trusting the process of getting ready to change our lives. Have patience with everything unresolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves as if they were locked rooms or books written in a very foreign language. don't search for the answers, which could not be given to you now, because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps then, someday, far in the future, you will gradually, without even noticing it, live your way into the answer.
Just gently talk amongst yourselves. I've put the reading somewhere. It's all about inquiry, this. Would that all life's questions and all life's missing items be found as quickly? And I wish you had a copy of this. I should have printed it out for you. I'll leave it in the coffee room afterwards because it's got powerful words in it, and it may not immediately come across what he's getting at. I don't know if you know Barry Lopez, but he writes beautifully about wilderness as a place for spiritual inquiry, the importance of getting out there into the natural world. He writes, "How is one to live a moral and compassionate existence when one is fully aware of the blood, the horror inherent in life, and when one finds darkness not only in one's own culture, but within oneself? If there is a stage at which an individual life becomes truly adult, it must be when one grasps the irony in its unfolding and accepts responsibility for a life lived in the midst of such paradox. One must live in the middle of contradiction, because if all contradiction were eliminated at once, life would collapse. There are simply no answers to some of the great pressing questions. You continue to live them out, making your life a worthy expression of leaning into the light." Making our lives a worthy expression of leaning into the light. This is a lousy and an old joke. It was the only one that I could find that would fit this theme at all. What do you get if you join a Unitarian with a Jehovah's Witness? The answer is someone who goes around knocking on other people's doors for no apparent reason. There's a worse version from the States that asks what you get if you join a Unitarian Universalist with the Ku Klux Klan, and the answer to that is someone who comes round to your house in the middle of the night and burns a giant question mark on your front lawn. So the general view is that people will not be drawn to a Unitarian community like ours if they're looking for certainties. I've been thinking this through all week, and I want to challenge that view a bit. True, we are not offering religious certainties here. We won't tell you that you are saved. Well, not in any traditional religious sense, anyway. We won't tell you that there's a place in heaven waiting just for you. We won't promise you life everlasting, and we won't guarantee you that there's such a thing called God in this universe. But actually, I think there are some things that I can promise you. I can promise you that life's big questions are shared by people the world over. We are not alone, however lonely life can sometimes feel. I can promise you that we are all on a journey through life, and that sharing our experiences and our insights with other seekers can be both comforting and inspiring. I can promise you that being able to live with uncertainty, living the questions, as Rilke puts it, is a path to wisdom. The wisdom of uncertainty, of not knowing, of being able to accept paradox and contradictions. What a richness then lies before us to be explored. Last week, if you were here in the service last week, I asked people to let me know some of the big questions in life that they're considering at the moment. 11 people replied, thank you for that, and replied so deeply and so personally that I'm not going to mention anyone by name. But let me summarise some of the areas their replies covered and maybe see if which of these, if any, resonate with you and your life at the moment. There were questions about our own lives and how best to live them. That included questions like, what next? Both in sense of living the life we've been given, but also on a practical day-to-day living level. That struggle to choose what to actually focus on amidst all that is needing our attention. Somebody phrased it as how best to live at this stage of my life, with that sense of life as having different phases. Someone asked, have I made the right choice, or how shall I choose between different possible paths ahead? Does life have any meaning or purpose, or is it my task to create that? How can I do well by doing good? Issues of morality and how to treat others, how to be a good person. More specific questions about life today and life in our society were mentioned. How to best redress the inequalities the world over, how to deal with the current refugee crisis humanely and realistically, how to counter the growth in fascist movements throughout Europe and a seeming rise in religious hatred. Several people mentioned anger, their own and other people's, how to respond best to anger, how to work with our own rage. Judgment of others and of self was another issue mentioned by several people. How to respond best when others judge us, or worse, judge others in our presence, or how to deal with the critical elements in ourselves. Other big questions focused around issues of belief, asking how can a God exist in a world that has so much suffering and cruelty? Wanting to explore further what it means to be spiritual when I don't believe in God in any traditional sense. How should I attempt to deal with apparent evil within myself and elsewhere? How to decide what's real or authentic or true in my life? Are we alone in this universe? Is there life in other galaxies, and will we ever know in my lifetime? And that last question leads on to the word for today, mystery. Anyone who sets off on a spiritual exploration in life eventually comes to the point of not knowing. This is the rich and fertile province of the world's mystics. It's an area of value for all of us here. Here we can learn to live with the reality that we really haven't got a clue about very much at all. How on earth has life developed in the way it has? Theories like the Big Bang and evolution merely add to the wonder and mystery of it all. Cosmologist Brian Swim says, 4.5 billion years ago, the Earth was a flaming, molten ball of rock. And now it can sing opera. Now, there are ways of living that avoid these big questions. If life is hard enough, brutal enough, regimented and indoctrinated enough, then people may lose their sense of wonder. But to ask questions and to inquire, that is innate in us humans. We are born curious, and if we're given half a chance, we'll try to explore. Many of us who are free to choose our own life's paths have a sense of life as a journey, a quest, an exploration both inner and outer. That very word question is derived from the Latin querere, meaning to seek, the same root as this word quest. This is the spiritual path that many of us are on. And it's a journey that really does require us, almost as our ticket of entry, to admit that we don't know. We don't know much about life. We don't know much about one another. And in truth, most of us know less than we think we do about ourselves. And nobody would say that this is the easiest path to take in life. But I believe that by living life as inquiry, we are more alive, more vital, more open to possibilities. And if any of you do stumble across the answers to life's big questions, we'll be sure to come back and tell the rest of us, won't you? Amen. In every moment of every day, we are stepping into the unknown. And so, in the week ahead, may we live with gentle curiosity, accepting uncertainty and using love as our guide. Amen. Go well and blessed be.